Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Joey Rogers, and welcome to Revive.
Your presence, wherever that you go, should have the atmosphere, the environment of the Spirit of the Lord all around you, and looking for that opportunity to be able to share your faith in Jesus Christ with whoever you come in contact with, and be ready to give a defense for the gospel.
In just a moment, I'm going to take you into a life-changing word from the Lord as preached right here from Pace Assembly. I know that it will be a blessing to you, so get ready to receive the word of God and faith that comes by hearing that word today.
Welcome back to Revive Radio. Let's continue with Pastor Rogers in his current Wednesday night Bible study. This is part four from the By Faith series, How to Walk with God by Faith. Let's get back into the message with Pastor Rogers.
They kept right on doing what they were doing. In other words, they completely neglected the judgment word and the warning, even to the degree of looking at what Noah picked up. I see him picking the hammer up the moment he got the word. I see him cutting the trees down and getting the gopher wood and the pitch and all that immediately. Listen. When you're in warfare, some of my soldiers in here and military people understand this. You don't have time to sit around and check the manual whenever the enemy is coming your way. When your commander says, point in that direction and pull the trigger, get up and move to the next foxhole. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Well, let me make it plain. You look at Pearl Harbor, you look at Midway and the battles that took place in the United States of America on that western side, you need to understand that we were limping along with a handful of ships simply because we neglected the warning signs. Nobody paid attention. Nobody wanted to pay attention. And when did the enemy hit? Early on a Sunday morning when people were doing whatever they wanted to do. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So I'm talking about Noah here and how fast he went into action to obey God, because activating on God's word, if God tells you to do something, you don't have to ask three times. Don't get into this habit like I hear a lot of people doing. You know, Pastor, I'm going to pray, and if God wants me to do it, I'm going to pray he opens the door or shuts the door. Some of you are going, I just prayed that, Pastor. What's wrong with that? I understand what you're trying to say, but let me make sure you understand this. You should be walking with God enough where you're not having to lay a fleece down on every situation. Come on, somebody. I don't have to wonder or question God if I'm supposed to marry somebody and they're living out doing whatever they want to out there. I already know it. I don't have to be convicted about what God already said. And if I know what God already said, then when he says something in here that may be specific to me and I've lined it up, it's not an option. It's time to obey. No matter what it looks like. Come on, somebody. I'm talking about activating on God's word. When God told Noah he was going to destroy the ark, look what the book says. Look in your Bible right there in verse 7. The Bible says that God told him, I'm going to destroy the earth because of the wickedness that's all around. And the Bible says, out of holy fear, Noah prepared an ark. When we truly reverence God and his word, we will always act upon what God's told us. So Noah built an ark, the Bible says, to the saving of his family. Even though Noah was a farmer, not a Navy man. He was a farmer. Well, Pastor, God will never tell me to do something that I'm not qualified to do. I beg your pardon. He'll always ask you to do something you're not qualified to do. That's where that faith thing comes in. Some scholars believe that Noah had never seen rain before, and I believe that to be true according to Genesis chapter 2, verse 6. But because he reverenced God and his word, he dropped everything and began construction on that ark. Now, I'm going to tell you, we look back at this and we go, yeah, boy, Noah, he built an ark and, you know, it's all this and gopher wood and pitch and all that kind of stuff. But let's wrap our mind around it just a little bit. Can I be practical for you here? I just want to give you a little bit of statistics in this to get your mind wrapped around the awesomeness of this, of not a request, a command of God. This wasn't an option. The rain was coming. The rapture's coming. What am I going to do between now and that unknown time? Noah didn't know what day the rain was going to start falling. And neither did the people, because they kept on sinning right up to the day that God shut the door. And Noah worked on the ark until God shut the door. God warned him. This is a powerful thing. I haven't preached it yet. But my fascination is with the last 7 days. Because the Bible says that God spoke to Noah and said, in 7 days, this is the only time that he gave him, in 7 days, the rain's going to come. Go get in the ark. So for 7 days, Noah is in the ark. The door is still open. I see Noah. In fact, I had a dream several years ago of Noah standing in the doorway of that ark, pointing his finger out. It woke me up out of a dead sleep. Pointing his finger out. Even while the door was encroaching on him, I could see him looking through the V in my dream. I could see him looking through the V saying, come on, there's still time. Come on, come on. But nobody responded. This is a sobering thing, especially in light of the fact that Jesus himself in Matthew 24 makes direct reference to this and to Lot's day as it would be in the last days. So let me give you a little bit here, because this incredible, phenomenal, I mean, it had to take some faith to be standing in your backyard and say, I got a download from God. I got a word from the Lord, and he told me to build an ark. I know it did for that guy up in Kentucky. People walking through there right now. I mean, the lawmaker said, you can't build it. People around mocked him. Why are you doing this? And now it's an entire museum. Some of our folks right here walk right through that place. I mean, it's a visible sign. Isn't it in Kentucky? I think it's in Kentucky. It's a visible sign up there. I mean, to the scale. We're not talking about a little boat. We're talking, here we go. God told Noah to build the ark 300 cubits long, 50 cubits wide, and 30 cubits high. If you don't think God is an exact God, watch what I'm about to tell you. A cubic is the distance between the elbow and the tip of the middle finger, so about 18 inches. So the ark was 450 feet long, watch this, 75 feet wide and 45 feet high. That is 1.5 times as long as a football field and as tall as a four-story building. So here's a very interesting fact for you. That to this day, the dimensions that God gave Noah to build that ark is the same type and the same scale that modern ships build today, because of the width of it and the height of it and the size of it. This determines this, determining this to this very day. I think y'all miss what I'm telling you. There was an Ingalls shipyard down there in Noahville building the ship. This was a download that to this day, they're building the ships to the same size and scale to handle turbulent, rough water. So apart from God's word, Noah could not have actually known these maritime proportions. But God gave him exact proportions. Why? Because it was going to be a picture of the ark, was going to be a picture, a foreshadowing of Jesus Christ. He is the ark. Are y'all still with me out here? Anybody learn anything right here? So here's what happens. God commands in Genesis chapter 6, verse 16, he said, I want you to make three levels on this, a lower level, a middle level, and a high level. Watch this. This is beautiful. Y'all all right? I'm loving this, whether you are or not. Each deck is 400 feet by 75 feet, or 33,750 square feet, for a total in the boat of over 100,000 square feet in the boat. I don't know, what is that, the size of Walmart right now? Maybe not even that. Maybe Walmart's smaller than the Ark. So each deck then could be at least 10 feet high. So the cages for the animals and the stalls were probably stacked on top of each other in these three levels. Because when you're talking about the entrance of all these animals that are coming onto the Ark, y'all, you know what? Y'all are looking at me right now. I feel like the folks that was looking at Noah while he's explaining why he's building this ark. So that would raise the square foot on each deck to over 100,000 square feet by putting different stalls and different levels for the different size animals. Now, probably, according to some scholars, that the size of the animals were not probably full-grown mature. Most of them were about sheep size. So think about that right there, and just wear that loosely. But since the average animal probably required some 3 foot of space, help me out here, Mr. Horseman, then the ark then could probably have accommodated over 100,000 animals on board this boat. So to survive the flood, God commands that the pair of these animals come on board the ark. Now, I mean, obviously the fish were still out there in the sea swimming. Cockroaches didn't need to come in. They survive anywhere, anytime, up toilets, all that kind of stuff. So only those that needed that kind of protection are on board here. Okay, so with that in mind, there could have been, speculation, where this, some 35,000 different species of animals on board the Ark of Noah. And yet, because of the size and the dimensions that God gave, there was still plenty of room for supplies and for Noah and his family. Let me stretch it a little bit farther for you, because we're talking about God's Ark, not ours. Noah didn't sit down and go, let's see, I think I'll build this thing. No, God gave him specific dimensions and gave him specific instructions on how to do it. So let me transfer you into the New Testament. Because Jesus is walking along and there's 5,000 people plus women and children out there. And he asked the disciples, hey, what do you think? Let's feed these folks. They said, well, we can't do it. All we got is this small boy's lunch. He said, bring me the lunch. So they're on there for 40 days and 40 nights on this ark, right? And they got supplies. But how many of you know maybe the MREs are running low? You got to feed all these animals. How many of you know it gets stinky on the ark? Somebody got to clean the stalls. Come on, somebody, 40 days and 40 nights. Perhaps God multiplied the food for them on board. That's too much faith for you to have to have right there, isn't it? It's what happened in Luke chapter 9 when he took it into his hands and multiplied it and fed them all over again and picked up 12 basketfuls after that. Come on, somebody, have a little faith with me here tonight. Otherwise, I'm going to pray God put you on the ark with 100,000 animals and you got to clean the whole place. I just want to say to you, anybody can say they've got faith, but having faith is hard work. There is no promise that you're going to, oh, I'm going to have faith, and then it's just going to, you know, you pull up to the bank and drive up to the window and say, hey, I need a little something. No. You have to work. Look at your neighbor and say, you got to work. It's hard work to have faith. Because there's many times when I don't have it. That I've looked at this and I've looked at that and things are not adding up. And God, where's it going to happen? And it doesn't happen for days and weeks and months and years. And you're wondering, where's it going to come from? But ladies and gentlemen, keep on walking with God. The God who built the ark is the God who can provide.
I'm thankful that you've joined us for Revive today, and I pray that the word of the Lord has been strength to you. If you'd like more information about today's message, log on to paceassembly.org, or you can email us right there, revive@paceassembly.org, and I want to encourage you to be right back here with us once again. Till then, Remember, Jesus Christ is coming soon.